I'm going to invite you to take your copy of God's Word. I want you to open to the book of Proverbs. I know we've been preaching through the book of Ephesians, but this morning is a morning a little out of character for us. We have our Gideons here, and one more aspect that we're going to get to, that I've decided to take a few minutes and talk about the Word of God. As the Gideons have already talked about the importance of the Word of God in every home, we are... As believers, we are resolute about the power of God's Word to impact us and impact our world. And so I want us to read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Let's stand to honor the reading of God's Word. And following this, I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us. And just kind of fair warning, I'm not going to preach as long as I normally do. We're going to have an invitation, but we're not going to be done just yet. So don't think like, oh wow, no, you're not. Okay. All right. And again, as I pray, I invite you to join me if the Lord gives you grace. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says this: every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we can trust Your Word because we can trust You. So Father, now as we think about the importance of Your Word in our lives and the importance of Your Word in our community and in our world, and the need for the changing, the sanctifying of our world, Lord, we know that the power of God through Your Word, through the Spirit, is all that's needed for that to happen. So Father, I pray that as we think this morning about who You are and what You've given us in Your Word, that we would embrace it and we would trust it as we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to join me in a little thought exercise as we begin this morning. Let's say you've taken a trip to New Orleans, Louisiana. I don't know if you've ever been there. Missy and I lived there when we were in seminary. And let's just pretend that you found your way down to the French Quarters, just alongside one of the streets beside Bourbon Street. And it's pretty late at night, and you've got kind of confused. You've kind of gotten turned around because all the streets down there are one-way streets. And you're looking for your car, and you can't find your car, and you're in a very dim lit alley. And about that time, a man steps out onto the alleyway, and he looks kind of rough. He's got on what appears to be gang clothes, neck tattoo. He turns and he looks at you. Would it make any difference at all to you to know that he was coming from a Bible study? It would, wouldn't it? Because we recognize that the Word of God is transforming. That the Word of God doesn't leave us like we were. That the Word of God does a work of transforming us into the image of Christ. And that's what we're here to do. Of course, if you do any catechism whatsoever, any Protestant one anyway, they usually start like this: what is the chief end of man? Have anybody ever heard that? I hope you have. I've said it many times. The chief end of man, most catechisms will tell you, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Those two things are one. When God gets the glory, we get the joy. That we find our greatest joy in bringing glory to God. That's what we were made for. That's what all of creation is made for, is to glorify God. However, then comes the question, how do we do that? And how do we know what that looks like? In mid-1800s, Spurgeon put together a catechism. And his second, the first question was, what's the chief end of man? The second question was, what I just asked you. What is the rule that God has given us to know how we glorify God and enjoy Him forever? And the answer is, the rule is God's Word. God decides what glorifies Him. We don't decide that. Not only that, we don't even decide what gives us our greatest joy, because we didn't create ourselves. God created us. God fashioned us. So He knows what's best for us. He knows that if we'll live lives embedded in His Word, in living those things out that He has given to us in terms of knowing Him and walking with Him and living for Him, that that's where the greatest joy that we're ever going to find is going to come from. Now, why is that? Why must we trust the Word of God to be our guide, to be that rule to guide us in glorifying Him and in enjoying Him forever? Well, it's because of the nature of the Word. As Baptists, we throw around four descriptions pretty readily to describe the Word of God. We say it's inspired, inerrant, infallible, and incorruptible. Inspired, inerrant, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. How many of you have heard that those descriptions before? Absolutely. How many of you know what all of them mean? You might, and I hope you do, but let's review those right quickly. What does it mean for the Word of God to be inspired? Inspired. Well, that comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Some translations use the word inspired there. The NASB says all Scripture is inspired by God. The idea is that that God has spoken this, that the Word of God comes from the breath of God, that it is the source of what He desires. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that God told the Apostle Paul, now sit down, I got something I want you to write down, and you say whatever I say. That's called dictation. And that's not what He did. But we do understand that God took those biblical writers in their personalities and in their circumstances and all that was going on to deliver us exactly what God intended us to have, the very breath of God. It is inspired by God. It is His Word to us. Now, the second description is inerrant, inspired and inerrant Word of God. Well, what does it mean for the Bible to be inerrant? Well, it's the idea that the Scriptures, as in their original manuscripts, do not and cannot affirm anything that is contrary to fact. In other words, they tell us the truth. They tell us the truth it must be true. The Word of God must be true. That's why I read you Proverbs 30, verse 5. Why, though, must the Word of God be true? That is a good question. You say, we trust the Word, we live by the Word, we're people of the Word. Why? What goes to the very character of God? If God is true, then His Word must be true. If God cannot lie, then His Word must be trustworthy. And the Bible tells very clearly that God cannot and does not indeed lie. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, one place it says, this is Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. So God's, the knowledge that He gives us of the truth, which accords with godliness, truth leads us to godliness. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. And that is a good word, that God promised to save a people for Himself, to give us exactly what we need in His Word that would lead us to godliness and then ultimately to eternal life forever. And basically what Paul's saying there is that God said it, He can't take it back. You ever heard the phrase, backsies, no backsies? Paul says God doesn't do backsies. He says it, it's true. He doesn't take it back. You can trust Him in it. The Scripture claims itself that all the words in the Scripture are completely true and without error. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. They're pure. I read you Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. You hear what He says? If you can hide behind this word, it'll protect you. You can lean upon it. It will hold you up. Inspired, it is inerrant. Third descriptor that we use is infallible. infallible. What does it mean for the Word of God to be infallible? It's the idea that a word that comes from God, breathed out by God, a word that is absolutely true in everything that it gives, in terms of what God intends us to have, cannot lead you astray. You ever thought about, you know, there's a lot of different holy books out there. There's a lot of different religions that are based on books. I mean, there's absolute. So why do we trust the Bible and not the Quran? Why do we trust the Bible and not, I could list a number of different ones. Why? Well, it's because of what we believe about the nature of the God that the Bible talks about, that He is true, and that it is true in all that He says, and therefore it cannot lead us astray, that we can build our lives upon this and know that it's going to lead us to eternal joy, eternal happiness, eternal salvation, rightness with God, so that when we die and we stand before the Almighty, we are in good standing with Him. Not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done via the person of Christ Jesus, of which we know about because He told us about Him in His Word. It is infallible. It cannot lead us astray. You will find your purpose for life as you follow God through His Word. And then it is incorruptible. Incorruptible. This idea that God's, that since it is God's word, there's no power on earth that's more powerful than God. And therefore, there's no power that can eradicate it from the earth. You know, the devil's been trying a whole a long time to get rid of the word of God on earth. There's story after story in history of movements throughout different countries where they've tried to eradicate the word of God because it didn't fit in whatever political system or social system or whatever. And it just can't do it. Why is it? Why is it that I would guess that every home here has a Bible, at least one. And most likely, if you're like us, you don't even know how many Bibles you have because you've got like shelves of Bibles. I mean, you're right? Why is that? It's because God is powerful. And God's Word is precious. It is worth more than all the jewels on earth, Scripture tells us. And He protects it. God protects His word. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Why is all this so important? To not just give lip service to, but to believe deeply that the word of God is an inspired, inerrant, infallible, incorruptible word. Here it is. Here is why. Because the way we view the Scriptures will determine the way we use the Scriptures. Now, let me say that again. That is crucially important. The way we view the Scriptures will determine the way we use the Scriptures. And unfortunately, while the Word of God is, it is the most purchased book or most owned book or most published book in all of the world, is probably the least read book amongst those who own it in all the world. Why is it? I do believe it is because there is by and large a disconnect between what we say we believe about the Word and what we actually believe about the Word. Because how we view the Scripture will determine the way we use the Scripture. And if we don't believe it, down deep in our souls, that it is from God, therefore it is an error, that it cannot lead you astray, and it will stand forever, then we will view it ultimately as a sideline work to our lives, as God's suggestions about how we might live our lives if we so choose to take His opinion on the matter, instead of God's authority as the one of which, the King to which we kneel to. And the Word of God is not just suggestions. God is not someone that's simply an advisor that we might take His opinion or we might not. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And we must see ourselves as yielding to His authority. We cannot choose what we want to believe. We cannot choose what we want to obey. He is, as I said, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is Creator. He is Redeemer. He has authority over us, and therefore the Word of God has authority over us. Why does His authority have over us? Why does His Word have authority over us? Because God has authority over us. So when I was a kid, I had to mow our yard. Still have to mow my yard. Growing up, my dad would tell me every weekend, "Hey, Bradley, get out there and mow the yard." "But Dad, I don't want to go to mow the yard. I want to go with my friends. I want to go whatever." "You get out and mow that yard before you do anything else." You know what I do? I go mow the yard. All right? Now, let's say that one of my buddies came over and said, "Hey, Bradley, come mow my yard." I'd tell him where to stick it. "I'm not mowing your yard. What are you talking about?" Now, why can I be so flippant with my buddy who wants me to mow his yard and tell him to go mow his own yard, but when my dad tells me to mow our yard, that I'm mowing it? Here's why. Because my dad has an authority over me that my buddy doesn't have. All right? And so that's the way we've got to see it with the Word of God. That the Word of God, that God Himself has an authority over us that no one else has. And therefore, we must own this. We must live by it. We must consume it. It must be the guiding path. It must be the plumb line. That everything that we ultimately know about God needs to be either coming directly from the Word or rooted in the Word, confirmed in the Word. Because there's a lot of people who will tell you something about God out there that the Word of God doesn't tell you. And so how do you know who God is? And the answer is because God tells us who He is in His Word. And His Word tells us everything we need to know about God. All of our great doctrines, the doctrine of God, doctrine of salvation, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of the church. I mean, we just go the doctrine of man, the doctrine of Christ. Everything we know about God comes from right here. And if we move from that, here's what's going to happen. That our understanding of who God is going to come in error. Not because the Word of God is in error, but because we are in error. And the only thing that keeps us on track to understanding who God is rightly is His Word. And so we must be rooted there. So quite simply this morning, I just want to tell you, trust the Bible. You want to know God? Trust the Bible. You want to know God? Spend time in His Word. You want to know God? Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. All right? Learn it. Memorize it. Get into Bible study. Get in your Sunday school classes. Support ministries like the Gideon. Support your church. Teach somebody else the Bible. I mean, get into the Word. Trust the Word of God. It cannot lead you astray. And it's why we do what we do around here in terms of Bible study and teaching. Now, normally on Sunday morning, 80% of my sermons are verse by verse through the Word of God. Why is that? Because I don't have anything to say of any benefit outside of what God Himself has said. I'm simply here to tell you what He said. Now, we call that biblical exposition. Why do we do biblical exposition? Because our goal is to expose His Word. Just expose what God has said. Well, why do you have to expose it? Is it covered up? Well, yeah, it is, quite frankly. It's why so many people leave it on the shelf and don't study it, because they take it down and they go to read it and go, "Well, I don't understand that," and they close it up and they throw it back on the shelf. Well, what do we do? Well, we want to understand what's going on here. What covers it up? Well, time does. Man, the Word of God was written 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, so we've got to work through that distance. It was, you know, was crafted on the other side of the world. Culture was different. It was written in different language: Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, all those different things that we study. But as we dig into those, we absolutely can see the Word of God coming to life, speaking to us. And by the way, you don't have to know Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic to understand your Word. Those Bible scholars, have translated it in English. It's in English. How many of you read English? If you read English, you can read your Bibles. And by the way, if you don't, they make it in almost every translation of language on earth. Why? Because every tribe, every tongue, every people group, and every nation needs the Word of God. And that's why we have ministry of the Gideons. It's why we have the ministry of the church and this mission work. Because we want to share the gospel. We want to get the Word of God to the world. Trust your Bibles. Start your day with it. End your day with it. Live your life based on it. It cannot lead you astray. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank you that you're a God that we can trust. And because you're a trustworthy God, the Word of God is trustworthy. Now, Father, I pray that that as we leave this place this morning, that we would be more resolute to tomorrow morning getting up and opening up the Word of God, and whether it's a devotional that we're reading through, a Bible study plan, whatever it is, maybe just starting with John 1, but we just read it and we ask you to help us understand what we're reading through the power of your Spirit. We can. Your Holy Spirit will guide us in truth, Lord. We pray, and so we ask you to do just that. And not to base our knowledge of you on anything else. Not our experience, not what somebody else says, not what a preacher says, but only upon what your Word says as your Spirit guides us through it. Lord, I pray that people would take what I've said this morning and go to the Word of God and say, is that right? Does the Word of God say that about itself? And I know that they'll find that is correct. But Lord, we look to you and you alone to find all truth. And so, Father, we lean upon you now and your Word. Father, I pray for those that don't know Christ this morning. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would change their hearts and turn them toward you so that they cry out for salvation. They would cry out, Lord, save me. If that's you this morning, then we invite you just to cry out, Lord, save me. He will. The Lord Jesus has done everything needed to forgive you of sin and restore you to God Almighty. You just have to ask. And the Bible says you got to repent. That means you got to turn from the way you were going. You got to turn to Him. You got to confess Him as Lord. If you'll do that this morning, if you'll say, I will follow you, He will save you and He will lead you rightly. So, Father, we ask you now to work in us as we seek to be more resolute about living according to your Word. And I pray for the salvation of souls this morning as they hear your Word go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.